Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Baseball America podcast. I'm Ben Badler, joined today by Carey Booyer. Welcome, Carey, into his first ever Baseball America podcast. And it's an exciting time to be here at Baseball America. You know, we're always so excited for opening day. I know, Carey, you and I went down to spring training and filed some notebooks from there and got to see a lot of guys there. But, you know, spring training guys are working on different things. I see a lot of guys who are, you know, fastball, curveball guys just out there working on their changeups, or, you know, they're out there working on certain things. But now the regular season has started, and, you know, we're seeing guys from all over the country, all over the minor leagues, start to pile up some numbers, start to get some reports on guys from scouts, from team officials, from people around baseball. So it's really an exciting time for us to be having all this, you know, information coming in all at once. You know, there's certainly some guys who've stood out so far this year. You know, Carey, what is your take so far? You know, we're about a week into the season right now. What are some of the things you've taken away from the first week of the season here this year?
Well, first off, it's really cool to be on this, making my national debut. And I think what you're getting at as far as the season moving from spring training to regular season is basically it comes down to, and I'll throw in a hockey term that Jim Schoener would probably appreciate, and that is the gloves are off. You know, they're off and running here, and while they are developing, these guys are, you know, dialing it up, where in spring training it was a little bit more laid-back atmosphere, I think. Yeah, this first week it's been pretty incredible. I mean, we've been able to see, just here in the Carolinas, see Tommy Hansen make his AAA debut. And for anybody that was around Durham, you know, this past weekend, we were able to see David Price go against Matt Wieters. And, you know, I mean, we're really fortunate to be where we are, and, you know, at this, you know, in this season, especially the early season. And I think what we take away from this first week is it's going to be a fun year. I mean, I don't think, you know, I think, you know, every year you think it's going to be fun, but you always have to have that initial start, or maybe that 1 week. Sometimes it doesn't come for a couple, 3 weeks, where you say, okay, the season's, you know, in motion. It's going to be a fun year. This one, it started right off the bat.
And absolutely, with David Price and Matt Wieters, we'll talk a little bit about that and move on to some other guys. But, you know, we saw David Price and Matt Wieters face off. Unusual that you get to see the number one prospect in baseball face the number two prospect in baseball. Thank you to the collective bargaining agreement for that. So, you know, you see David Price, you see Matt Wieters. I watching Matt Wieters take batting practice was just a lot of fun for me. You know, you see a guy who just does it so easily from both sides of the plate. Easy swing, easy power. The guy's, you know, a giant at 6'5", and he's a good catcher. He literally made a throw one time to second base that beat the shortstop trying to cover the bag to second base. So he missed a runner trying to steal there. But, you know, I know Matt Wieters doesn't have the numbers quite yet. It's 1 week of the season. It's, I won't say irrelevant, but it's as relevant as 1 week of the season is. I mean, that's a terrible phrase to use, but just explaining it. But
well, when you talk about Wieters, I mean, the night that we saw him, well, we saw him a couple nights, and the first night, you know, he made an incredible throw to nail a runner at second base. I mean, you know, we sat here in the office and we listened to John Manuel talk about, you know, Matt Wieters and all these other guys that he's remembered from their college days or an amateur career. And he would always talk to me, I remember, about this guy is a guy that threw a 97 in college. And you're like, okay, will we actually be able to see that in a game as far as can we see his arm strength? Well, right off the bat, opening night, guy gets on for the Durham Bulls, tries to test his arm. And I mean, I think it was Fernando Perez? I can't remember. The guy was out, I mean, by a mile. And the arm strength was right there. And, you know, we talk about the bat and everything else, but you're like, wow, this guy has some scary stuff behind the plate to where he could literally make teams not run.
It's really an all-around package with Matt Wieters. It's impressive that a guy that size has, you know, that amount of skill defensively and offensively. And you turn around and look at David Price, you know, didn't pitch... you know, he wasn't the dominant guy you're probably used to seeing if you've only seen him pitch in the major leagues in a relief outing where he's regularly throwing, you know, 94 to 97 miles an hour as a starter in the minor leagues, he's more often going to be in the low 90s, probably about, you know, 90, 91 to about 94. So he can touch it up higher there to 97 to, you know, I had a report of him hitting 99 or so last spring training in 2008. But, you know, it seems like he was just kind of getting back into the groove right now, maybe working on his changeup a little bit. Seems like he was throwing that a lot more often. That's going to be a pitch that, you know, the more he throws that, the better it's going to get. And it's going to be a helpful weapon for him in the major leagues, especially as a left-handed pitcher facing a lot of right-handed batters. What did you see out of Price?
Well, I thought there were two main things out of that, and that was he challenged Weeters, and he challenged everybody in their lineup, but especially Weeters. We got to see that. If anybody was able to read baseballamerica.com, you know, your blog and the stories we had reflected, you know, he challenged them right off the bat, three straight fastballs. And the next at bat, I mean, he kept coming at him. He wasn't afraid to, come inside, use his slider, use his fastball, and, you know, he tried to work in his changeup. And that's the second thing, the changeup. It wasn't there that night, but it's, you can see where a guy like him, he can get it down. You know, where's it going to be in 6 weeks? And especially, where's it going to be at the end of July? Say he's, I don't know if he'll be in the minors at that point, but if the Rays are in contention, and you look ahead and go, okay, they got David Price, and he's not only throwing, you know, his regular heat and sliders, but he's got the changeup too, and he can go through a lineup three, maybe four times. Wow, that's going to be a pretty fun storyline, you know, in the second half of the season.
So I think this is probably going to be the last time we probably talk about, I know Price is starting on Thursday night for the Bulls, but this will probably end up being one of the last times we end up talking about David Price and Matt Weeters as they pretty quickly end up in the major leagues pretty soon and probably compete head-to-head for Rookie of the Year this year. But moving around to some of the other guys around the minor leagues, you know, that San Jose team out in the Giants High Class A affiliate in the California League, I mean, I think their seventh hitter is Angel Villalona. That's kind of insane right now. It's just a stacked team that they have out there. There's some other really good teams around the minor leagues, but what are some of the things that have jumped out around the minor leagues to you, Kerry?
Well, that's just it. You touched on, you know, the San Jose club, I think the Birmingham club as well, both teams stacked with prospects. You know, the San Jose club, I was really fortunate in spring training. I slipped out to the Giants facility. I think the last Monday I was there, and it happened to be Buster Posey's first day in the minor league camp. And the lineup, I think number two was Nick Noonan. Three was Gillespie. Four was Posey. I think five was
probably Roger Kieschnick, maybe.
Roger Kieschnick. And, I mean, just keep going down the line.
You got Nick Noonan. You got all these guys there.
I mean, it was just, you're sitting there going, this doesn't look like a minor league club. This looks like a high-end triple A big league, you know, just the names. And it was pretty remarkable, and it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, they blend together, you know, and of course their pitching staff, Madison Bumgarner, Tim Alderson,
not bad.
And then you throw Scott Barnes in there too. You know, that team ought to win a lot of games in the first half if they stick together. You know, it's going to be fun second half season.
Yeah, I think they're going to stick together in Connecticut actually when they when they move those guys up to Double A. I think I'm going to make my way up to Connecticut this year at some point.
Yeah, the old home turf up there, right?
Because that's going to be a pretty stacked team later on in the second half of the year. But you know, speaking of San Jose, Buster Posey. If you're talking about Buster Posey, I don't think there's a hotter hitter. I know it's the California League where it's, you know, offense is nice right now, but Buster Posey's really standing out right now. I think he's. He's hitting over 500, and I know it's a week, again, only a week, but he's certainly been impressive. And we talked a little about the Birmingham club as well with the White Sox AA affiliate. It seems like all of their prospects this year are concentrated, or all of their top prospects, at least, are concentrated at the AA level. Even a guy like Aaron Pareda, the White Sox left-hander who spent a lot of last year there, they sent him back there this year. But that's certainly a stacked prospect team right now. We certainly didn't think we would be saying that about Birmingham at this time last year, because they didn't even have a guy like Gordon Beckham. They didn't have Tyler Flowers. You know, Brandon Allen was just kind of, you know, coming into his own last year and still tapping into that that excellent raw power that he has. So what are some of the things, what are some of your thoughts on that Birmingham club or some of the other clubs around the minor leagues that have caught your attention?
Well, Well, first off, I want to go back to what you talked about with Posey, because, you know, you did say, yeah, it is Cal, you know, the Cal League, but give Posey a little bit of credit in the sense that, I mean, it's been a pretty whirlwind year for him as far as going from the draft last year. He was in big league camp, you know, up until, you know, almost the end, and he's got all this, you know, all this hype on him, and he comes out swinging. And it's, yeah, sometimes guys just, you know, they can't handle it in the right way. I mean, I think everybody understood Posey was going to handle it, but it could be a thing where you kind of, in between the end of spring training and the start of a season, some guys just kind of need that breather, and then it takes them a little bit of time to kind of get their timing back. But obviously with Posey, I mean, look at the numbers. He's 12 for 26, and I know these are stats, and we talk a lot about, you know, scouts and what they're seeing, but the numbers don't lie. 426, you know, on base, 563, and then an 885 slugging. Just is incredible. You know, and then you shift your focus to Birmingham, and wow, I mean, Gordon Beckham's almost the same, you know, the same numbers. You know, it's a pretty stacked team, and you're right, last year at this time, you know, Birmingham was sort of an afterthought. I think the hot team to watch was Huntsville. They had all the prospects, and you know, the concentration of talent now goes to Birmingham.
Certainly, those are a couple of the better teams around. You know, our number one farm system is the Texas Rangers, and you know, you look at what they have in AAA with Derek Holland and Neftali Feliz, obviously the top two guys in the system. They really have talent at every level. With, and you know, a level down below, they have Justin Smoak. You got below them, you got guys like Michael Main and Blake Bevin. But I think their low A their team is pretty interesting in Hickory, and their new affiliate this year. It seems like they got a lot of interesting Latin American arms. I really like Martin Perez, a really good young left-hander, very young left-hander, with a good fastball, a very good curveball, and really an excellent delivery. What have you seen out of those guys so far early in the year?
Well, yeah, fortunately, you know, they're in Arizona now, and when I slipped down to Surprise to see them, I happened to be at the complex when Martin Perez and Michael Main were both pitching on the same day, and it was pretty exciting. You know, Martin Perez is a guy with a nice, nice, smooth delivery. I like it, and he's a guy that's not afraid to pitch inside. And talking to his pitching coach, you know, what really stood out was they're encouraging him already to throw inside, to start learning that this year. I mean, this guy, we're talking a very young guy where normally they would kind of take it easy, a lot easier with somebody like that. But he's got the talent. And they're wanting to pitch inside, and not just for strikes. They're wanting to do it to set guys up. And if he can show that already, man, that, you know, it's going to be a fun year to watch him, because if he can develop into that, then you say, okay, well, what's he going to be at this time next year? And where is he going to be? Because that's, you know, he's in Hickory. But he could be a guy that could move. You know, is he a Derek Holland mover? You know, we don't know yet, but, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I think the Rangers will probably play a little more conservatively with Perez, just given his youth and his inexperience. But, you know, certainly he's a guy who could reach the big leagues at a very, very young age. And, you know, another left-handed guy who's another talented young left-handed Latin American arm is Kelvin De La Cruz of the Kinston Indians, or of the Cleveland Indians, playing for their Kinston affiliate in High Class A in the Carolina League. This guy's been lights out so far this year. He was Adam Miller was the top-ranked pitching prospect in the Indian system this year. And surprise, surprise, he's ended up getting injured again. You know, I still haven't given up hope for Adam Miller. I still think he can be a dominant reliever if he can maintain the quality of his stuff. It's getting more and more frustrating seeing him, and I'm sure it's just as frustrating for him and for the Indians as well, being unable to get on the field. But, you know, the next pitcher after that I ranked in the Indian system was Kelvin De La Cruz. You know, another talented guy in that system was, you know, Hector Rondon. I went with De La Cruz over Rondon just because, you know, De La Cruz has a much better breaking ball. He's bigger. He throws hard, too, and he's going to project and fill out a little bit more. And I liked his, you know, the very high strikeout rate in low A at a young age. Actually, a little bit younger than a lot of people realize. His birthday in a lot of places is listed as January 8th, so 1-8. but it's actually just a clerical error. Supposedly, he's actually born on 8-1, which is August 1st. So he's actually about 8 months younger than a lot of folks realize. But he's a guy with an excellent curveball. It can be a swing and miss pitch at times to left-handers, right-handers. Doesn't matter. He's 6'5". He's 20 years old right now and in the Carolina League. So far, this guy, I think he has about 18 strikeouts through his first 12 innings.
19.
I mean, he's one of the youngest guys in that league, and he's already dominating through his first two starts. Hopefully, I'll get out there to see him on Sunday when he's scheduled to pitch again. But, you know, he's one arm who's really stood out to me so far.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to, you know, and a guy like De La Cruz in Kinston, the interesting thing is going to be it's an 18 league in that Carolina League, and they're going to see him a lot. So mm-hmm. how does he adjust to that cat and mouse game? And, you know, he's got the pitches, but eventually, you know, a lot of those, you know, good hitters in that league, guys like Mike Moustakas that you got to see the other night, you know, maybe they're going to start figuring him out. Well, then that's when he gets to be creative, and we get to see more of that talent come out of him. You know, in the last 4 years, I was fortunate to cover the Texas League, and I got to see some guys that were like that. Some guys adjusted, some guys didn't. The guys that did adjust, you know, especially when it got to June, July, and August, and, you know, the other teams had, they didn't even almost need scouting reports anymore on them because they just knew what they were going to throw. The pitchers that, you know, would bust guys inside kind of stick to their game plan, but also get a little bit creative. Those would be the guys that it got you excited to go to the ballpark that night and watch. And I think De La Cruz could be that guy like that in the Carolina League.
Yeah, and you know, not only is he getting the strikeouts, but he has a you know, pretty good fastball that gets a lot of ground balls as well. So I think when you have a pitcher who can get strikeouts and ground balls, it's really not something that you see too often. And when you do that, and you also have excellent stuff like De La Cruz does, you know, he's not out there throwing 98, 99 miles an hour, topping out at that kind of velocity. But you know, he has a lot on his fastball. You know, to throw it in the low 90s, and then he has the curveball, gets the ground balls. You know, I think he's going to be a guy who's going to jump into our top 100 prospects at some point next season. You know, it is, again, early in the season, but, you know, we look at some of the hitters who, we just looked at a couple of pitchers who stood out. Some of the hitters who stood out, you know, I saw Johnny Giovitella play the other night. We'll have a write-up on baseballamerica.com at some point next week about Danny Duffy as well. A couple of those guys on the Royals high class A team. You know, Giovitella, I think he had a really good game the other night. You know, even last night he made a couple of hard outs, but he's a guy who gets the bat around really, really quickly, and just really fast through the zone. He's only about 5'8", and I think we wrote in the prospect handbook that he's built like a fire hydrant. I couldn't think of a more appropriate comparison when I saw his body. But you know, he's not the fastest moving guy out there, but man, is that guy strong. He can just put a charge into the ball. Were there any other hitters who've caught your eye so far this year, Kerry?
Well, I think, you know, he's one. And then we came on to start this, you mentioned Josh Reddick, a very athletic guy in the Red Sox system. And, you know, I think last year, you know, a lot of eyes, you know, gravitated toward the Rays, and the storyline became, you know, their homegrown talent. Well, the Red Sox actually had it too. And here's Josh Reddick, down in the high minors, you know, just kind of working. And, you know, we talk about storylines, and he's one of those guys. He's just one of those guys that you like to follow because of the athleticism. You know, I think he had three homers in the first three games?
Yeah, it's interesting. I talked to a scout last year who said he liked him, but, you know, loved the arm out there. He thinks he likes the bat, but, you know, a little bit below average power. And you see him come out this year and just, you know, hit all those home runs out of the gate.
Yeah, and I'd like to see, you know, kind of look at the box score, see who he's hitting the home runs against. Is it, you know, the kind of middle inning guys, or is it the starters? Yeah, that can kind of be telling. But you know, give him credit for the nice start. That means he's kind of already zeroed in. It goes back to, you look at guys come out of camp and they have that little breather, that kind of 4 or 5 days off. You know, they've had to fly out of camp. They get to their new city. They got to find a place to live. You know, all that stuff. Get the water turned on. You know, pay the lease, all this, and then they got to go play baseball. And some guys, their minds are starting all right for, you know, a few days. But give Reddick credit. He's come out of the gate and, you know, came out strong.
Well, it's been an exciting first week here, the minor league season. Certainly we've enjoyed it. I hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast as well and enjoyed the first week of the minor league season. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this Baseball America podcast. So long.